gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I'm going to turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Terry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'll tell you what, I think I'm getting in the Christmas spirit. Something's going on, a little bit of snow falling out there, and I'm getting used to the cold. How about you? Are you getting used to it yet?
Not yet. I don't know if I ever will or not.
Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our service times are Sunday, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. We have midweek service, Bible study, and we also have Sunday evening service at 6:30 and youth group at the same time. Our web address is prospectccf.com, and our phone number is 740-494-2222. And boy, that was a mouthful. But I want to tell you, if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. And tonight also, anytime you'd like to call in, that would be great. Hey, we've got a bit of a trivia question tonight, and I'll tell you what the prize is before I tell you what the question is. My daughter, Kelly, makes these beautiful, fresh, evergreen swags at Christmas time that you put on your door, or some people even use them for grave blankets. And she makes those, and we're going to be giving one of those away. You can pick it up in here Friday after... what time's the show? We start on Friday after about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
About Friday at 10. If you win tonight, you can come and pick it up then. But love to have you have one. And if you would like to have one made for you, just give me a call, and I'll be glad to get that to you and make sure that she gets one made. But anyway, tonight's trivia question is this. Approximately how old was Jesus when the wise men showed up to worship him? How old was Jesus when the wise men showed up to worship him? So call in, give us that answer at 740-383-9944, and you will win that swag. Anyway, this evening, got a lot to talk about, a lot of fun stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff going on. We have at the church this Friday night, we have a live nativity scene in front of the church.
Oh.
Where we'll actually have people and animals. It'd just be a fun time.
Yeah.
And then we'll maybe have a little hot chocolate out there too and whatnot. But and then on Saturday morning, we'll be doing the same thing. Prospect will be a live Saturday. We have a tree lighting service. They have breakfast with Santa in the morning. And then during that time, we'll also have our live nativity in front of the church. So it's a great time to come out and see those things. Real busy time of year for us. We're gearing up for our Christmas giveaway blessing. And I will have to tell you, people have been very generous in bringing in and donating this year to help that so that some kids can have Christmas. And that's just a huge blessing, truly is. So it's kind of a fun time for me to hear. A lot of buzz of activity. It's kind of funny. We were looking at it, talking about it last night, looking at our schedule. And we're kind of what you would call front-end loaded for Christmas. All of our main Christmas events are going to be done after about the 8th or 9th. And then, of course, we'll have Christmas service and Christmas program and Christmas Eve service also. But between that time, between the about the 9th and the 24th, it's kind of great, you know. We're really going to be having a time when some of us can spend time visiting and talking and seeing people and doing the things we're meant to do. You know, Christ came to earth here to visit us and dwell among us as men. And I think that we need to take his word and dwell among people. I talked to a lady this evening, and she was telling me that her mother is in a nursing home now, and they brought hospice in. And what a blessing it is when people can go out and see them. And I know with FCA, our Fellowship of Christian Athletes, tomorrow night they'll be at the church stuffing stockings for kids that need them. We've got about 260 stockings to stuff, so they're going to be busy. And we'll try to get some caroling in, too. But a lot of stuff going on. Terry, how about you, buddy?
Well, I mean, I'm busy all the way up until about probably the first of the year between work and just family and just activities and stuff going on. And
now I'm going to ask you that forbidden question. That forbidden question is this.
Yeah.
Are you done shopping for Christmas?
I'm going to say this. I haven't even began. But this is the argument that me and Scott always have, is that my shopping is really easy because it really just consists of gift cards.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
Yeah, he doesn't like that. He thinks that you got to give a traditional gift, you know, to everybody.
Well, I'll tell you something very interesting. When the wise men, and no one's called in yet with that answer, by the way, when the wise men came in to see baby Jesus, they brought, what were the three gifts? Do you remember?
Frankincense, myrrh, and gold.
Very good.
Okay.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what order. Right. That's right, what they were. Right. But all three of those had extremely a lot of value. Obviously, we know gold was. Mm-hmm. But frankincense and myrrh were very, very, very expensive oils. And, well, myrrh was the oil. Frankincense was more of it's in an oil also. But, you know, very, very highly prized, expensive stuff. Mm. And so if you think about it, they were bringing him gifts that were worth something.
Sure.
That would help the family to get through the next few years. Remember, they had to flee to Egypt. They had to have some things worth value.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I think we have a practical God. So I'll be honest with you, Terry, sometimes maybe a gift card is practical.
Yeah, well, I just look at it this way, is that a lot of times because first of all, let me say this, and this is just me speaking, I don't mean this for everybody, is that I kind of feel like the holiday has been over glamorized, you know what I mean, in the sense of people take it to the extreme as far as shopping. Some people do.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it was meant quite the way, quite that way.
Oh, no. We're over the top. Yeah. And here's something I really see as a problem today. And, you know, I would encourage you families out there that are live in what we call the blended family society today, where there's usually been, there's just a lot more extended family. Through divorces and separations and those issues, you end up with several grandparents and several different parents, more so than the traditional family used to have. Mm-hmm. And it happens that I've seen this, that a lot of times one group wants to outdo the other group.
Yeah.
And it gets to be a little bit crazy, and it does the person you're buying the gift for no good whatsoever. We've talked enough, and I don't want to get into that tonight, but we've talked enough on the program recently about the simplicity of Christmas and having meaningful gifts versus spending a lot of money and stressing yourself out. So, you know, I hope that people will decide to spend more time with their children, with their family. That is such an important thing to do. And the gift thing, I don't like to fight crowds. That's not my thing. I can do it if I don't have anything else to do or somewhere to be. But I know my wife, bless her heart, she gets in that environment for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and she just looks at me and says, I got to go. You know, we need to go.
But, Pastor, what's the service like after Christmas? Because, you know, everyone's all stressed from the bills and stuff. Is that typically the mood, like, after?
You know, it would really depend.
I guess what I'm saying, too, do you speak on that? I mean, like, is that part of your...
Absolutely, I do.
Because, you know, I mean, obviously people are stressed because they've spent a lot of money and things like that, and it causes a lot of, you know, some rifts sometimes, and, you know...
Well, the first thing I try to do, Terry, from the pulpit is to tell them the truth of what the true gift was of Christmas.
Sure, sure.
Which is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, yeah.
But leading up to Christmas, I try to talk about the things that, and I do throughout the year also, but the things that are truly important, and not to get caught up in that commercialization of something that's beautifully and wonderfully worshipful and spiritual.
Yeah.
And but inevitably, you know, invariably it's going to happen because that's people.
Sure.
And that's you, that's me.
Sure.
We fall back into
we fall in that trap. You know?
We do fall in that trap. And so, I do talk about that. Matter of fact, usually the first month after Christmas is a good time for any church if they're going to do a financial accountability type series of messages, is a good time to do that. Because people are stressed and they don't know what to do.
Is that a good time, too, for what they call, like, I've heard this term before, too, like a spiritual cleansing, they call it, I think, sometimes?
Every day is good for that, buddy.
But, I mean, do you see a lot more, you know, of after the holidays of that? Because I seen on a program the one pastor was talking. He said something. He sees a spike, you know, in his.
Well, I think a lot of people have sometimes come through the holidays. Holidays are, you know, as far as it being one of the most happy, joyous times, do you know it is one of the highest times of the year of extreme depression?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the depression comes before and a lot of it comes after. Mm-hmm. And the after is Christmas didn't quite live up to the expectation that you thought it might. Relationships weren't quite what you thought they'd be. Here you are saddled with a huge bill and everyone's still fighting and complaining and not getting along.
But are those all factors that you can control? I mean, or
me personally?
No. I mean, us as people,
you know, no, that's the whole point. We can't control some. We can.
That's what I mean.
We can control what we spend.
Own doing. I mean, yeah.
Most of it's of our own doing, but as far as relationships, and all of those things.
Well, obviously, yeah, we don't have any control, you know, over that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, say, for example, if we could limit our spending, would that in turn help the relationship? You see, I mean, is that.
Well, sure,
maybe,
it does. Definitely
does
at home.
Do two go hand in hand? Is that what, you know, I mean, is that.
There's a lot of interesting things about. A lot of interesting things about that we see that go on at Christmas time. You know that Christmas time is also post Christmas is also a huge spike time for divorces to be filed. Mm. I mean, it's just, you know, people try to, maybe it's that last ditch effort to make someone happy and it didn't work, or they're tired of the spending, or they just want to get out. The truth is they're focusing on the wrong thing. And any time that you focus on the wrong thing, you're going to have the repercussions of that. You know, Christmas ultimately is a time when we should share and love and care, because that's what we were taught through Christ coming.
Sure.
And when we try to make it, what really is sharing? You know, what really is love? Is love buying gifts? I guess that's a way that you can express it a little bit, depending on what it is. Is it a time to spoil or look at the great gift I got you? And, you know, that doesn't work. I remember one year my wife and I were a very hard year. And we had a few of those throughout the years raising kids. And it was a very difficult year, and my daughter wanted a good camera, and she was in photography club. And I was able to buy a used camera from my brother-in-law that had, it was a really good Nikon, but it just wasn't brand new. And I took it out to a camera shop and bought a new photo, a lens for it, or a zoom lens, mm-hmm. and all the stuff that goes with it, and a camera bag, and made it really nice. And couldn't wait for it to open on Christmas. And she opened it on Christmas, and it wasn't what she had thought it was going to be. And it was just, you know, and that was hurtful to me.
Sure.
But, you know, in those cases, don't depend on gifts, folks. You know, enjoy the time with family. Give someone a gift if they don't like it and they want to take it back, say, hey, feel free, take it back, do whatever. If it's something that can't be taken back, say, hey, man, I got that at the pawn shop down the road. You're not taking it back. Or, I mean, does it really matter if you're helping somebody? I mean, this is kind of interesting. Any other time of the year, if you showed up at my house, hey, Steve, I've got this. I got this older stereo. It's a great stereo and it works great. I don't need it. Can you use it? I say, sure. And I take it and I say, man, check this stereo out, man, Terry gave me. It's pretty cool. It still works great and blah, blah, blah. But at Christmas time, if you do that, you're a cheapskate.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just our whole attitude is different. But, you know, one thing I that is important, I think, is that we do something special with family involving what Christmas is truly about. There's so many services going on and programs, your school programs, your churches have programs. You know, we've got one on the first Sunday in December at 4:00 in the afternoon at the, it's held at the United Methodist Church in Prospect, because it's to raise money for the Prospect daycare. And it's a great time of singing and programs and talent and kids. And anybody can come and see that. Yeah. You know, get out and enjoy yourself.
Right.
This is a perfect time. This will be the first Sunday leading up to Christmas in most congregations. I know it is in ours. And we'll do a series that go right up to Christmas and telling the Christmas story and how it affects us and impacts our lives today. Folks, let's get out there. And, you know, it's also a good time to decide to make a decision, you're going to start going to church. And people always talk about the C&E Christians. You know those are? Those are called Christmas and Easter Christians. They come at Christmas, they come at Easter. Okay. And, the thing that I would question about that is, do you really have a faith if that's the only time you're interested in showing up in God's house? Yeah. You know, I got to tell you something. Shirley and I have been married. It'll be 41 years in February.
Congratulations.
And if I only showed up to see her on Christmas and Easter, I don't think that 41 years would have lasted to two.
Two, maybe.
So my point is, if you love God, if you want to learn and have him part of your life, he should be part of your life. And people say, well, I don't need the church to do that. That's not true either, because that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves as believers. And building each other up and all these things.
My God, it's so funny you use that term. I know so many people that's so funny you say that. That's C&E. That's funny. I do know a lot of people.
But that's it. I mean, yeah, hey, I'd rather you there on Christmas and Easter than no time.
But I've never heard that. That's so funny.
I think that they're every denomination out there. That's what they call it. Yeah. I'm sure.
But I know.
Unless you're in a temple, and then it's probably, Hanukkah and whatever. But I mean?
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean, that's people think, well, I better go to church. It's Easter, it's Christmas. I'll give the Lord his due for a day or two. But, the truth is, I'm glad you come when you do.
Days.
And, we have a great Christmas Eve service for you C&E Christians out there. Anyway, no, I'd love to have anyone. And I would never ask somebody if that.
Right.
But at the church, we have everybody comes in at.
But here's the $1 million question. When you're preaching from the pulpit, do you see those? I mean, do you know which ones are C&E?
Sure, I do.
So, of course, you try not to say nothing, but you're...
Oh, I don't, but I welcome them anyway.
I know.
Because my hope is always that someone will come.
I've never heard that.
That spark will hit, and they'll stay. A lot of people, the first time they start back to church, it's over a holiday.
Right.
But,
That's funny. I've never heard that before. That's good.
I love our Christmas Eve service. We have our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock, so everybody can get out, get in and get out. And, what we do is I have a very, when I say abbreviated, I mean abbreviated service. And then we sing, we pray, and then we all join hands in a circle all the way around the inside of the church and have a candlelit time with the lights down. And usually we sing as a church. We sing Silent Night. And that ends the service. And people can go back home and finish what they're doing, and they're not out that late. Man, I went to a Christmas Eve service one time at a church I was attending years ago. And, we got little kids crying. We got moms tired with a whole stack of stuff still to do at home. There's gifts to wrap. There's food to put in the oven. There's all these things to do, kids to get ready for the next day. And everyone, doing as they should, that's members of the church, they come into the service. And this thing went on and on and on. And people were looking at each other like, you got to be kidding me, man. And I thought, at the time I went to pastor, it was years ago, and I said to myself, if I ever pastor a church, I will never, ever do that to the congregation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was uncomfortable for them.
Well, we did that same thing one year. We attended one, meeting my family, I want to say it started at like 7:10, and I looked down at my watch, and it's 9:50, and it's still going.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm like...
And I'm like, man, there's no way. Moms were going outside and bouncing their babies to get them to quit crying. And,
I mean,
I
look over at these, at these ushers, and they still haven't lit the candles yet, and they still, and it's like.
I mean, we have to let the message have free reign and free spirit. We want the Word of God. And so you're not going to say, okay, you've got 6.5 minutes.
You're not
doing that.
No.
But we want the message to take a free course.
Yeah.
But it goes, it's kind of funny on the flip side of that. I was filling pulpit in a church many years ago before I had a full-time church myself. And I was filling pulpit one week, and the guy came in, and he says, now, how long are you going to be? And I said, I don't know. I didn't really give it a thought. He said, I want to tell you something. He says, 25 after 11, he said, these people got to be out of here because the restaurants start getting full in Delaware. I said, okay. So I didn't bring a watch. He goes, that's okay. He said, when it gets to be about 20 after, he says, I'll give you one of these. And he made that cut mark across his throat with his finger. I cut it off. I thought, you got to be kidding me. So it got to be about 20 after. And he gives me the, you know, cut off. And I kept going. It got to be 25 after. And he does it like three more times. Like, stop, stop. And I kept going.
Right. Oh, man, that's funny, though.
But, you know, something I want to talk a little bit about this evening, and I think we have the time. By the way, no one's called in for that swag yet, and there's one of two things going on. A, either nobody knows roughly how old Jesus was when the wise men came. B, they don't like a swag and think it's a dumb gift. Or C, you're not out there. So I would encourage you to call if you could, please.
I think it's A.
I think it's A.
Yeah.
Which one was that? No one knows the answer.
Right. No one knows how old he was.
Okay, well, let me give
a... Is that something I wonder is Googleable? You could probably Google it.
Sure, you could. Yeah. But you know what? If you don't know the answer to that one, I'll give you a second question, okay? Second question would be, what was... Woody Hayes was let go. So when Woody Hayes was asked to step down years ago from Ohio State... And Woody had pretty much run his gambit, and he was really getting stressed out a lot, as we saw.
Yeah.
He took a swing at a player, and it was right after that they let him go. But he took a swing at a player that had just intercepted the ball and was running down the sideline, and Woody came in and tried to punch him. What team was that? Now, all of you got to know that.
It's a good one, yeah.
So if you don't know about Jesus, at least maybe you know about Woody.
Well, we had Dick Shafrath on our show that played for the Buckeyes under Woody Hayes, mm-hmm. and he told that story about what happened. Woody Hayes was a diabetic, and at halftime he didn't take a shot, and that's...
And he was a little bit...
Yeah.
He got kind of keyed up
and there, before they had a chance to grab him, this had happened.
Yeah, because that'll cause a horrible mood swing.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, and they said normally as a whole, he took his shot, you know, at halftime.
But what happened to a few weeks earlier, a month or so earlier, when he shoved the camera in the cameraman's face?
Now that he didn't talk about that. He just talked about this particular incident.
Hey, know? Woody was passionate.
Sure he was.
Remember his book, You Win With People? I'm dating myself.
The old saying is, though, that he died with the first dollar he ever made this podcast.
Is it? Could be. I don't know. But no, what I don't want to talk about tonight is this. You know, I'm burdened for children this time of year. I love kids dearly. I always have. I don't like to see kids hurt. And I don't like to see dogs hurt either. And what I mean by that is, I know that was an odd thing to say. Uh-huh. But no, when pets are abused, they say that your average dog has the best intelligence and thinking is that of maybe a four-year-old child. And I think of, you know, people that leave their animals out in the cold, or they don't take care of them, or they abuse them. Could you imagine doing that to your child? Well, unfortunately, maybe some can. But, you know, with children out there, mom and dad, they love you. And you're their lifeline, or grandma or whoever. And you got to take care of these little ones, and you got to show them they love you, yeah. or that you love them.
I want to do the right thing, you know, I mean.
Someone sent me a video on Messenger today, and I shared it with a whole lot of people because it just really hit home with me. Some of the hurt today. There was a, and I don't know the man's name. I was listening to it while I was driving, so I wasn't reading either. I couldn't do that, and I missed his name. But he was a 30-something black man, and he was talking about. He said that when he was, when his mom was carrying him 2 months before she was to deliver, she got in an argument with a lady at the house she was staying, and she started upstairs, and the lady came around the corner from the upstairs with a boiling pot of water and threw it on her and burnt her with third-degree burns from the chest down, put her into labor, and he was born 2 months early. Mom, on the other hand, was literally lived on pain medication and all kinds of medication for the first 3 years of his life. And he said that when he was 3 years old, he found a bottle of red hair pills and he took them. And he ended up in a coma in the hospital. He almost died himself. But because of that, Children's Services decided that they believed it was intentional and not accidental. So they took him out of the home. And when they took him out of the home, he went to a foster home, and he said that his foster mother kept him locked in a closet, and she opened the door to feed him and beat him, and to tell him that he was a worthless little blankety blanket would never amount to anything. During that same period of time, he was brutally sexually assaulted by the man in the house. And this went on till he was a little boy of about 5 or 6. And his grandmother had been fighting to get custody of him. And she finally did. And he said, to, you know, Grandma pulled up in the to pick him up. He was waiting out on the front porch, this lady's house, his little bag and all this stuff. He said, Grandma pulled up and she was an old grandma too. She pulled up and she had this old funky looking beat up car and she come cruising up and she got out and she was wearing her Sunday best hat and dress. It was all white and she only wore that on special occasions. And she told him, she said, everything's going to be all right now, son. She said, you're with Grandma now. And he said, you know, he said, that was the first time anyone had ever done anything special for me. To dress up, to pick me up, he said, that just... So he went home, and everything he thought was, you know, he was getting to know Mom again, and Mom was coming around, and those type of things. And then when he became a very young teenager, older adolescent, younger teenager, mm-hmm. Got a call one day, and our lady came over to the apartment. And said his mom had died. She had suddenly died. Why, she was still trying to get custody through the courts to get him back. But then he said he went on a bad road from that point. He said he just gave up. You know, everything had been bad. His life had just been a mess. You know, and everyone had, you know, other than his grandma, had treated him horribly. And his mom was in this bad place and all these things had happened to her. And he said that he started down the road of drugs and running the street and armed robbery and breaking into houses, stealing cars, you know, the whole bit. And he said he found himself at 19 years old standing in front of a judge. And the judge said, I sentenced you to 15 years in the penitentiary. And he said, they took me back and they put me in a holding cell. And he said, my knees started shaking and I fell to the floor. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I realized, he said, my father died in prison. He was in prison his whole life. That's where he died. And he said, I realized right then I was going to die in prison. I was doomed to same fate. He said, and I thought, what in the world has happened to me? You know, this life's not fair. And everything that goes through your mind. And, you know, as we talk tonight, I think out there, there's a lot of people out there that know kids out there and young adults that have to be feeling the same way. They've been treated that way. They've been bounced around. They've been told they're worthless. They think they're worthless. But then there was something that happened. So he was in a jail cell. Man came in and addressed him as Mr. So he was a great big guy. And he addressed him as Mr. He wasn't an inmate. He was there as a worker, as a psychologist-type worker, I guess. But he addressed him as Mr. And he noticed he kept addressing him as Mr. And one day he told him, he says, you know, he said, you're going to make something of yourself. Today is a good day to be alive. And he said he thought about that. And he thought, you know, why not? Because, see, Grandma said to him every day of his life, said Grandma always looked at him and said, today is a good day to be alive. And she had a relationship with her God, and when she picked him up at that house that day, that's what she told him. Young man, today's a good day to be alive. And he said that he finally realized what that meant, and he decided from that point on that today was going to be a good day to be alive, and he was going to do everything in his power to make it a good day to be alive. And long story short, in five and a quarter years, he was out of prison. And he said that was 18 years ago. and he has a wonderful life, and he says every day, sometime during the day, I say it, today is a great day to be alive. He said, no matter what I'm going through at the minute, what's going on, because the truth is, today is a great day to be alive. Every day that the Lord gives us is a great day to be alive, because you can make decisions. You can change things. You can make a decision to make your life better, to make your life worse. Whatever you can do, you have that day in front of you. Every day is a new day. And, you know, I talk to, you know, young people, and I try to explain to them, I understand that some of them come from broken homes. No one's ever loved them or shown them love and these things. But today's a great day to be alive, because you can change your whole family dynamic. You can send your family on a different road or in a different direction that maybe they've been in the last five generations, if you choose to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do, regardless of what anyone thinks of me, regardless of how anyone else treats me, regardless how bad people have been to me in the past, I'm going to make today a good day to be alive. I was looking at the some things on in the paper. I know some friends that work at companies, and they tell me how many jobs are out there, right? Good jobs. And I ask them, I say, you know, what's the requirement? And they say, well, you know, we want you to be healthy and be healthy and be able to pass a drug test.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Pastor's the thing I hear all the time at work. The one guy is begging. He says, get me an electrician, an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll pay him $60,000. He said, just get me somebody.
Yep.
That can show up. He said, I need some, you know.
And that's the whole point.
He said, I have no problems paying him $60,000, you know. I mean, just to be my helper, to, you know, to.
I had a friend one time in high school. He owed me some money. And I wanted to see him. And I said, now, Dan, I know you've got the money. He goes, yeah, I got the money, but it's in my bank, my savings account. I put it in my money's my savings account. I said, but you borrowed money from me. You need to give it to me. And he said, you'll have to wait till I get paid again, because I do not touch my savings account. And I said, well, dude, you shouldn't have borrowed it if you won't touch your savings account, which I had a good point. But he was so adamant that he would not touch his savings account no matter what, because he knew once he did, he'd keep doing it. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. You know, hey, look, I just started this job. I got a break. I'm going to be making good money. Your friend comes up to you and says, hey, man, let's go partying. It's 11 o'clock at night. You're laying in, you know. No, man, I'm not messing with this job. I just got this job. Hey, come on, let's do this. You know, you want to smoke this. You want to take this. You want to, come on, man, you're no fun anymore. Good. I don't need to be fun anymore. Maybe I'll have a little bit of money, and then you'll wish you had some of my fun.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you start going to church, and immediately, you know, everyone's, oh, look who got religion. Now they're too good for us.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to learn that God loves you and has a plan for your life. And if that other person...
The new set of friends that you'll make will be...
Exactly.
You know,
they call them fair-weather friends. I call them doomsday friends, and I'll tell you why. They're not happy unless you're traveling down the same rotten path they are. You know that?
Yeah.
That's what a lot of these young people are faced with. Mm-hmm. All these people say I've got your back. They don't have anybody's back. Me and my friends are tight. No, you're not. You know, if you all get in the same trouble, first one snitches wins. And that's the way it works. And I think that most of these young people will admit that they know that. That when it comes down to someone's going to go to jail or someone's not, they're not going to jail for you, you know. And the sooner you realize that God wants you to be special, that today is a good day to be alive, is the sooner you're going to get out of that mess. And you're going to start realizing. And one of these days, you're going to wake up and you're going to go, wow, today really is a good day to be alive, you know. I got my life on a different trajectory. I've got friends and family and all these things that I never thought I'd have, and I get promotions at work, and I've got a roof over my head. My, I'm doing better than I don't know if anyone else in my family's ever done this. And you say, thank you, God, it was a great day to be alive.
Absolutely. I had this same conversation just with a kid, a good friend of mine, but he's a younger kid, millennial, you know, and I'm so proud of him now. He's got a decent job. He just bought his first. He owns a mobile home now. He bought it outright, and he's working on that, and you know, and getting that all together. And
that's
great. He's got no payment now. All he does is actually pay. You know, he it's in a park, so he pays the park, you know, and pays the utilities. But that's for the he's going to be set now for the rest of. I mean, as far as a house goes, I mean, you know.
Yeah, and he'll move up from there, or he'll stay. Right. I mean, what's moving up mean, really? Yeah. But what I mean is, you.
But yeah, I did a walkthrough with the other day, and it's not that bad. I mean, it's.
Well, encourage him something.
Yeah.
Not to let any deadbeats mooch off of him.
Right.
Now, this sounds horrible coming from a pastor, because you're supposed to help everybody.
Right.
But you guys know full well out there, young people, there are those people that literally will take advantage of you and drag you right back down where they are.
And that's exactly the reason why, you know, he's a friend of mine, but he's going through that same thing. Now that he's got this, now all of a sudden everyone wants to use this as the quote-unquote, like, flop house. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they can just come there because he's working 12 hours a day. And just come there and just kind of hang out. Oh, well, he'll see his
way. No.
Well, now he's trying to establish this. No, once I'm at work for 12 hours, I don't want you there, you know. And
put a big lock on the door.
So, you know.
Really. And don't listen to the sob stories that aren't really sob stories. Yeah, so you know, tell your friends they need to go out and get to work.
Right.
You know, years ago, I wasn't happy with life very well. And I was doing what a lot of people do. And living in the world and living a way of life that helped me to forget and not think about life. And this is a long, many years ago. But, you know, when I walked away from that, there are a lot of people I cared for, but they weren't willing to walk away from that. And unfortunately, I can sit here tonight and tell you that a good many of those people, and I'm not an old man at all, I turned 60 in June. A lot of those people that I knew are dead. They're dead. Because it's a destructive lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I stepped away, all they had to say, man, let me step away with you. You know, instead of saying, oh, you're no fun anymore. Life's great. You're no fun. You're not the life of the party. You're not this. You're not that. Well, they're not the life of the party anymore. And unfortunately, their kids have followed in the same footsteps. And are doing the same things. And it's hard. You know, I had a young family, and I knew the truth. I knew who God really was and what he had done for me. And I wanted my kids to know that. And I did not want them to make the same mistakes their father made. And
I went through that same thing. My 20s and 30s, I went through that same thing. I thought, you know, I'll go out. And I was always trying to be the life of the party. Well, then once 40 hits, it's like you said, man, it's like, it's time to, you know, just quit all that. I just, you know, it just wasn't for me anymore, you know. And
well, and it you know, and I look too at people that you know, don't go through that, and they're, how much further ahead they get and how well they do. And you know, it's you know, we all go through things, and God uses us coming out of wherever we've been or whatever we do. But it's you know, I just want to encourage you folks out there tonight and you young people or people that have a family, you know, it's never too late to start over. Just decide today is the day. Today's a good day to be alive. Today's a great day. You know, I'm going to get in church with my family. I'm going to see what this is all about. You know, don't let life slip away between your fingers. We have a rough world out there. And I want to tell you something. If you don't raise your kids, the world will raise it for you.
I was going to say lead your family.
Lead your family. Thank you,
Terry. Be the leader of your
family. Be your leader in your family. And your kids will want to follow. Absolutely. Your kids are looking for a leader, whether they'll admit it or not.
They're dying for one.
And they will respond to true discipline. Don't think you got to be your kid's friend and let them do what they want. That's the biggest mistake you can ever, ever make. Hey, you know what? Christmas is coming up. And I encourage all of you to find a church to go to. Again, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. I'd love to have you there. We have a lot of stuff for you, and you know, we're a welcoming congregation. You're not going to I kind of laugh. I made a joke last week. I told one of the guys in the church that we're kind of like the island of misfit toys, but we all seem to do okay on that island.
Right.
But we're just a we're normal people.
What's the word? A hodgepodge.
A hodgepodge. We're not trying to put on masks and all of us look alike, and you know we're honest and we care about those that come in the door, and you know
that's what I like. I don't like to go to these churches where they put on an act, you know, and because then 2 minutes after you leave, it's, you know.
Hey, when you've got a pastor that trips over his own 2 feet and falls down in front of the congregation sometimes, it's kind of hard to put on an act like that.
That would be
but,
tough.
Hey, God bless everyone out there. Have a great, great, great week. And, hey, Friday night we're doing the live nativity scene in front of the church, 209 East Water Street. Love to see you there. God bless you guys. We'll see you.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For legendary talk show host Dick Cavett, read